anything.
Okay, it looks like we're a go. It looks like your audio levels are good.
All right,
okay.
That's it.
So, welcome to Drinks First Cocktail Hour. For those of you who know, Drinks First is the dating podcast for New York City's kinda eligible. And Cocktail Hour is our spin-off series where I talk to New York City's best dating influencers, people who have all the knowledge. Today, I'm super excited to have Serena Shahidi, also known as Glam Demon 2004, with
Hi.
Us today. Hello.
Charmed. How are you?
Charmed, I'm sure.
Charmed, I'm sure.
I'm great. I'm super excited to have you here. So, Serena, I'm just going to ask a few base questions for our listeners to get to know you. If you don't know who she is, you better start learning because this girl is coming up quickly.
Hell yeah. Serena is 21 years old, turned 21 in quarantine. It was not exciting. I grew up in Cary, North Carolina, so I'm suburban, you know, little Southern Belle. And I moved to New York about 3 years ago to go to school. I go to FIT. I am studying fashion business for now. I consider myself a future dropout. And I live in Midtown East. I work in media. And I'm a mogul, a socialite, and a thought leader.
I would love for you to talk a little bit about your kind of journey on how you started TikTok, because that's where I know you from.
Yeah. I mean, I started TikTok about a year ago. I downloaded it, as I think many people did, at the beginning of quarantine. I don't think any people above the age of 16 had the app before then. And so at the time I was living in an illegal 9-bedroom apartment in Tribeca, and I had a windowless bedroom. So I was going insane in many ways. And I would just record myself talking. I would just talk about kind of nothing. And that's still what I do. There isn't really, I have like more of a shtick than I have a theme to any of my videos. And it grew really fast. I think I started in like March or April, and I must have hit like 200,000 followers in like June. So it was pretty crazy. And I've been doing that ever since. I have my own podcast now called Let Me Ruin Your Life. And I've just been living the dream and influencing, to say the least.
You talk a little bit about your like quote unquote shtick. I think like you have this personality, this kind of air about you. Is this like a character that you've come up with? Are you like a comedian? Like what's going on?
Ooh, I think I'm a comedian. I don't know if other people would agree. Yeah, it's kind of a shtick. It's kind of something I do. I don't know. I always say I like to ride the line between like irony and I don't know, being genuine, because I tend to think this is a character flaw of mine, but I definitely tend to think that people who are always genuine are like weak and lame. But I also don't want to be like completely satirical, because I think that's so played out and dumb and simple. So I just kind of like to exaggerate things, you know. I live my life. I take my Adderall prescription. I let it kick in, and then I like tweet, I make my TikToks, and then it settles down and I live my life. And that's my secret.
How are you managing all of this newfound internet fame with dating?
I mean, I tend to date guys who would not know me from social media for many reasons. I mean, I just think a lot of girls say this, but generally men who are not really into social media are much better to date. And I also, it just gets so complicated when you're dating someone and you like make jokes on the internet because they, I mean, I dated someone for a bit who knew about my internet presence. And basically every time I saw him, he would like confront me about anything I had tweeted or videoed like in the past week. And I was just like, this is so, it's so confrontational for something that I've like, I'm just fucking around on the internet. And so I prefer someone who is a little detached from that. I would not like to meet a man from TikTok, preferably. Not that I think that that would ever happen, or at least I hope not. Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, if I, you know, I have a dating podcast. If I was dating somebody, if I were them, I would run to my podcast every fucking week just to be like.
Exactly. No, I don't blame them at all. Because you find out that someone's talking about dating, I would be like, oh my God. Like with the amount I name searched on Twitter, are you kidding me? Of course I would listen. But it's also like it's so much pressure as the creator because you're like, am I really going to change my entire content? Which is like, you know, in many ways my source of income and livelihood just to please like this one asshole. Like, no. But it
no,
is going to be awkward.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I know. I mean, like you were saying before, I create my content with my like parents in mind.
Yes.
So hopefully anything that I say like doesn't, you know, my parents are immigrants. They definitely, when I told them like I'm going to start a dating podcast, they weren't like, great. Yeah, that's really what you should do. We would love to hear you talk about dating and sex, even though you've never said those words to us in person. So
yeah, no, my mom like fully sends me emails like telling me to take things down. She's Persian, so
yeah. So you get it. So I mean, hopefully the things that we put out on the internet are safe for those.
You know what I found out
recently? If it's safe for our parents,
is that two of my dad's ex-girlfriends, and my dad has been married to my mother since 94. Two separate ex-girlfriends of his like follow me on TikTok and listen to my podcast. Isn't that
how did he figure that out?
I have no idea. And my dad's also like 60.
That's weird. That's like that's not it. I mean, can you imagine
I'm
like
so,
your
like,
dad's ex-girlfriends
concerned.
Reaching out?
Yeah, I'm so glad I'm
that's
not
like
very close with my extended family. I know my dad's side of the family like doesn't like my content, and I'm like, you guys hated me anyway. Like, cool.
It's like let's just put the nail in the coffin.
Exactly. Fine with it.
So if you're liking guys who like aren't really on social media, which is, you know, a hard breed to find. I'm the same way. I think most women are. But does that mean the guys you kind of date are older? Are they, you know, people who just don't really are kind of counterculture, don't want to spend their time on TikTok? Like what's the typical guy?
I mean,
glam demon 2004 dates.
They're definitely older. I don't think that's much of a secret as far as my brand goes. But I definitely tend to go for more of like the nerd type. I like guys who, you know, kind of sit around and read and make financial models. I just think that they're like the most interesting and the most attractive, like especially when you're a creator and you kind of are obligated to keep up with what's on the internet, not because you want to and not because like it's enriching you as a person in any way, but just because it's part of your job. Like the last thing I want to come home to is a guy being like, did you see that tweet that went viral? Like, oh my God, I'll kill myself. So I try to go for guys who have interests outside of social media and are very committed to those interests and are individuals who aren't very shaped by social media.
So how do you meet people usually?
Well, pre-COVID, I mean, everywhere. I would go out a lot, of course, you know, FIT girl. What's a girl to do? And I would, you know, just live the New York life and kind of meet people everywhere, you know, bars, Whole Foods, streets, who knows? Now, I mean,
I have been saying this literally since my first season, the best place to meet somebody is Whole Foods.
Yes, the Tribeca Whole Foods is
okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've heard the one on East Houston. That's where I've heard the Whole Foods with the most eligible bachelors are, but
I'm not even sure I know where that is, but I recommend the Whole Foods in Tribeca. I'm not sure how it compares, but yeah, that's a great one. Now, I mean, meeting people through apps is pretty much the only way. And I mean, the quality, I'm sure you've seen that the quality of men in New York on the apps is absolutely disgusting. Full offense to every man in New York City right now. The way I was describing it to my friend the other day, I was like, it's that scene in Halloween, like swiping through Bumble right now. And I say Bumble because they sponsor me, hashtag Bumble partner, hashtag make the first move. Swiping through Bumble right now is that scene in Halloween Town where the kids walk through Halloween Town for the first time and they look around like horrified because everyone they walk past is like a terrifying monster, but like all in different ways. And it's like really scary and grotesque. That is what dating apps are like right now. It's so gross.
It's actually terrifying.
I mean, I think like right around now is going to be the turning point though. Because first of all, like vaccinations, people are coming back to the city. And also this is embarrassing to admit because it like says a lot about what my type is. But recently I was getting like a lot of texts from guys I used to see saying that they were back in the city. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. I wonder why they're all returning like the same week. And then I realized ski season just ended.
They're like, Aspen, the slopes are shut down. Like, Jackson Hole, Four Seasons. Like, it's not working anymore.
So absurdly predictable, like down to the week. It's crazy.
Look, they're going from ski lodge to surf lodge. They're super ready.
Yeah, I love that.
But honestly, though, like, I was saying this to you, like, currently I'm in Miami. I'm a diehard New Yorker, like, born and raised, been here my whole life. I rode out the beginning of the pandemic, you know, in New York for most of it until I was like, you know what, no more. I'm going to move to Miami for a little bit. And I'm coming back in like a few weeks.
Yeah.
So it feels like everybody's on the same timeline, which is New York City summer is going to be absolutely insane.
I'm so ready. My shoulder of my dress just dropped.
You're dressed at hot girl summer.
I'm so ready for the roaring 20s. Me and my friends are trying to like plan our like post-vaccination trip. And I'm getting so annoyed at my friends who are like, oh, like, let's go to Malibu and relax by the beach. I'm like, I want to go to Vegas. We've been inside for a year.
No, you're like, club, another club. No sleep.
That's literally what
like,
I want.
Like, that is
to
exactly.
I'm like, we can be classy.
That is what I am going to do.
Any other time. I want to hold a sugary frozen drink that is 2 feet tall with a crazy straw. This is the time.
And I want, like, this is the time. And I want, like, sweaty bodies, like, up against next to me. Like, that's exactly, I'm ready for it.
Yes, I can absolutely drink dirty martinis alone anytime. I've been doing it for the past year. Come on.
I realized I forgot to ask you, and this is something I ask everybody, is I guess pre-pandemic and now that we're rearing the end, where do you like to go out and where do you like to eat in the city?
Ooh, okay. So I'm not much of like, I love restaurants, but I'm not like a restaurant person in that like we all have our friends who are like Yelp and you can call and be like, okay, I'm in this neighborhood. I want Italian. Like, what do you recommend? I don't know my restaurants. I can recognize one from like the outside, but I don't really know my restaurants that well. I just know like the vibe that I try to look for. I am very bad with, I am like ADD. Like I can't really talk to people or concentrate on anything when there's like loud music playing. So I like quieter places. And it is a perk that those quieter places have like, you know, silver foxes in them. So like, you know, cigar bars, speakeasies, you know, more low key cocktail bars. Like I'll go to a dive bar, but you know, only if my friends are going. I'm not super into vodka crayons and sticky counters.
Is there like a place in the neighborhood that you like to frequent? Like it doesn't have to be anything fancy.
Yeah, I mean, I used to go to like Oscar Wilde near FIT like all the time, which is kind of like the crowd tends to be like a little Jersey-ish, but I love the like way over the top gaudy decor, and I love the drinks, and it's like a block away from FIT, so of course I went there pretty often. I went to like Lexington Bar and Books, you know, for a cigar and a lychee martini.
Yeah,
that kind of vibe. I love like the faux vintage vibe. I guess that's, you know, part of my shtick.
Do you find yourself being the one to recommend where to go?
I don't know. I do feel like I have, obviously I have better taste than the guys I go out with, but I don't want to be like planning dates. I'm a big gender role person when they benefit me and no other time. So I like a guy who can just be like, you know, Thursday, 7 p.m., this restaurant. Like, yes or no.
Totally.
That's my favorite. I would rather them do that and it be like, you know, kind of a place that isn't really my thing, then be like, oh, like maybe we can go to this really nice place. You know, I'm a Libra. I'm indecisive.
Yeah.
I need someone to make decisions for me. I'm just a woman. That's such an important skill because it's so sexy when they can just be like, you know, decisive and like a place that's good.
Yeah. It's like if you can come across and say like, yo, like, this is where we're going, and I'm like impressed by the place that you chose, then immediate turn on. And then even better, and want to hear your thoughts about this, like if they leave to go to the bathroom and then pay for the bill, you know, like you have it taken care of, which is kind of what you were saying, gender roles, when it benefits to be a woman. How do you feel about like guys versus women paying on the first date?
I mean, it's just never something I question. It's just, of course, the man's going to pay, you know? Mm-hmm. It's something, it like blows my mind when that's even an argument, because I'm like, that's never, like, unless it was like high school, that's never been something that was even brought up on a date, you know? They just pay. And I think, you know, I think it's a matter of whether you are like masculine or feminine as a person, because some women like do want to lean into their masculine side. And I think like, especially, obviously I like to lean into my feminine side, and with the way I like speak and present myself and look, like no one's expecting me to pay the bill or open doors or anything like that. So it's a matter of cultivating the, you know, the energy you would like to receive.
Right. Well, that being said, like, you're on dating apps, you're on Bumble, like we said.
Yeah.
What kind of advice can you give to both, like, women and men creating, like, dating app profiles?
Okay, my biggest dating app advice, everyone says like the downside of dating apps is that like, oh, it's so visual. It's all about the pictures. And that's extremely true. But what people don't realize is that just because it's all about the pictures does not mean it's all about the way you look, or like, you know, how symmetrical your features are, or your waist to hip ratio or whatever. You know, it's a matter of, when people look at your pictures, what kind of person do they think you are? You know, like, because if you have low quality pictures, that's sketchy. If they're too high quality, catfishy. If every picture is you and a bunch of friends at a bar, you look like an alcoholic. If any of those pictures is a selfie, you look like a sociopath. Like, you just have to kind of look through your pictures from an objective point of view and not be like, do I look hot and sexy here? How do my calves look? Whatever people are thinking about. But, you know, if I was someone else, what type of person would I think that this profile is communicating for? You know, where would I want to take this person? How would I want to treat this person?
You want to take this, like, visual aspect and use it to your advantage. Like, you want to curate the kind of person that the kind of person you're trying to attract too. Which is you know, in your case, if you're trying to attract like a certain kind of finance, whatever, then you have to give off the certain vibes that you deserve and want that, and the kind of girl
that
they can. Yeah,
I mean, if you want someone to like really take you out and you like that's, you know, what I like is I like very feminine experiences. I like to just, you know, luxuriate and live my best life. And so I have pictures where I'm more like dressed up and I'm in nice places as opposed to like, you know, sitting on the great lawn in mom jeans. Like that communicates a different message.
Word. Yeah, that's great advice. So let's say you're on Bumble. What's your go-to opening line?
Oh my God, this is, I'm sorry if anyone's listening and I've said this to you because I do say this to everyone. I just say, aren't you handsome? Just because I like to lie.
No, I mean, look, it's hard enough that women match with, like, let's say we're taking Bumble. Women match with so many people every single day that it's like, you can't think of a unique thing to say every single
time.
Exactly.
And it's also like, we're not used to, you know, coming up with lines to approach men with. It's like,
no, literally.
Like, that doesn't happen in a bar setting or like organically very often. So it's like, all I know how to say is like, you look attractive-ish. Or if they have a picture in a suit, sometimes I'll say, like, don't you look dashing in a suit? Just because I love the word dashing and I think we should bring it back.
Yeah, that's great. No, literally yesterday I was on Bumble and I send the same opening line to everybody. It's just copy paste, copy paste, copy paste. And
what's your opening line?
These two guys. Oh, it changes sometimes. Mine right now is quick. What's your favorite pasta shape?
Oh, love.
Look, you can tell a lot about somebody's favorite pasta shape. Like, if you're coming at me and you're saying that, like, your favorite pasta shape is penne, I'm like, okay, you're a little basic. But, you know,
what
it's like reading.
Shells?
Okay, shells are cute. Shells are cute. Are we talking big shells? Are we talking small shells? You know, there's a lot of, like, intricacy here.
That's very true. I mean, size doesn't matter.
Does size matter? But literally, I had messaged these guys that, like, obviously not thinking twice about it. And then at the same time, I get the same response from two guys, like, very distinctly. And I'm like, oh, they're friends.
I've done that to so many guys because me and a friend will match with the same guy. And my go-to move is I type out on both of our phones. So it sends at, like, the exact same second. I'll type out, how do you feel about threesomes? And they get so confused and, I don't know, nervous.
No, literally.
It's great.
Yeah, that's exactly, like, basically what they were trying to do, I guess, being like, oh, well, this girl matched with both of us and said the same thing to both of us. And I was just like, so should we start a group chat? Like,
yeah, let's get this going. Sister husbands, or no, brother husbands.
Brother husbands.
That's a real TLC show. It's crazy.
I want to backtrack a little bit because you were talking about, like, kind of the vibe you want to give off on dating apps, things like that. And you said you love just luxuriating. And you know what? I'm here for that. What is, like, the most luxurious date you've ever been on?
You know what? I have had, like, actually several guys take me on spa dates. I don't know what that says about me, but I love it.
Like, as a first date?
I've had it as a first date, yeah, or like, you know, second, third. I love it because it's like you have a man next to you stressing you out, as they do, and then you're also like, you know, getting that relieved. It's very nice.
I mean, that honestly sounds amazing, but I don't know if I would like that for a first date. I feel like if a guy came with me with that energy, like, let's go to a spa on our first date, I'd be like, am I about to be trafficked? Like, I don't.
I mean, to be fair, one of them who, like, took me on a spa date was deaf. Like, how do I say this in a way that won't get me killed? He, with his money, he did not respect the law very much. And, you know, there were definitely some interesting situations that stemmed because of that and because of his background. And yeah.
Did you date somebody who was in the mafia?
I have my theories. I know he was involved in various illegal activities. And I know he was Italian. And I know he has a well-connected family. And I'm not going to say anything else. And if he's listening,
right,
he is super hot.
How did you meet him?
I think I met him, I don't know, on one of the apps.
Look, I'm not trying to get you killed, so we won't
much dive
any further in that. Well, what's like, how about the worst date? What's the worst date you've ever been on?
Oh, okay. I went to this guy, some like finance guy invited me to, God, what is it? Like the bar room at the Beekman, like the Beekman Hotel Bar downtown. And
okay,
I,
so Fidei,
yeah. And it was like just a little bit
awkward. Red flag.
At first. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, that is like the best place in Fidei. Like at least he didn't invite me to Stone Street,
yeah.
But still Fidei, like best of the worst. Yeah, he invited me there, and at first it was a little bit awkward. Like, he just was not getting my jokes and was just, like, talking about his job. And I was like, okay, this is just, like, you know, typical New York finance bro. Like, he's just, you know, doesn't care about me, just wants to talk about his job. He's probably an analyst or something. Like, who cares? You get bitched at all day. You don't do anything important. At one point, he was like, yeah, it's so crazy that we're on this date together because I usually only date models. And I was like, oh.
No.
All right. Also, looking at him.
No.
Looking at him, immediately no. Immediately, that was not true. Not true.
Immediately no.
Like, are you
kidding? I can tell you right now without seeing him, that's a no.
Exactly. First of all, if you're saying it, then it's not true. If you're bragging about it, it's not true. But also, I see how much, like, my, you know, male friends who are, like, successful and attractive and likable struggle with dating. So if you expect me to believe that a guy like that is out here, you know, getting supermodels to fall in love with him, obviously I know that's not true. I can observe things. I'm a person on earth. So I was like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Also, if that's true, then why the hell did he go on this date? Not that you're not gorgeous, but it's like,
yeah.
What the hell?
It's so, yeah. So he said that, and I was like, okay, noted, scribbled down. And then the last thing he said, which is when I was just like, all right, I'm out. I like made a joke about, I don't know, I was doing my like my cocky shtick that's like not really a shtick if you ask any of the mental health professionals who worked with me. And I said something along the lines of like, I don't know, something about how great I am, obviously, as everyone knows. And he was like, you know, it's interesting. Like like you're just not hot enough to like be talking that way. And yeah, I left. But I have a tradition where every time I go on a terrible date somewhere and it's somewhere like the location is somewhere I haven't been before, I go again either by myself or with a friend and I like reclaim it. I'm like, that bad date never happened because now it's like I'm getting a drink there by myself or with the girlies. And so I went there another time and I met a great guy. So
what sort of advice would you give to women, men,
yeah,
the she's, the gays, the theys, like how do you?
I have socialized. Thank you for noticing. I know it's kind of hard to tell with me sometimes. Yeah, I would say go out to places. Like, once again, just, I fucking hate the word vibe. I don't know why I keep saying it. But, like, you know, somewhere that matches your vibe. Like, if you want someone really preppy, go to, like, you know, the murder bar on the Upper East Side. What's it called? Dorian's Red Hand. If you want someone, you know, indie, go to Bushwick. Ugh. So, yeah, I'd say that's the first step. God forbid you go to Bushwick, anyone who's listening to this. That's the first step. And I would just say, like, be friend and be like genuinely curious about people, because if you approach someone with the mindset of like, I am going to flirt with this person and they will either like me or not like me, then you're going to walk away like probably feeling rejected. Whereas if you're just like, you know what, I think that person is attractive and I'm like intrigued by the way they look and talk, I'm going to go see like where they're from. That's very different. And it, you know, it teaches you not to see rejection as, you know, such a black and white thing that's so personal. And yeah, just be a yes girl or gay or they or he, him. Like just go out to places for the gag, for the story, and see what happens. Can't hurt.
Can't hurt at all. I'm so excited for this, the next few months, where it's going to be like, whatever, fuck it. Like, let's just do it. I think more people will have that attitude. So
absolutely. It blows my mind when I see tweets like, oh my God, I didn't even know how I'm going to leave my apartment this summer. I'm like, girl, the second that second Moderna dose kicks in, are you kidding me? I'm spitting in everyone's mouth. Everyone. And that's a threat.
No, that's a gift, please.
Period.
I'm going to be at the club just like baby birding people. Like,
yeah, me and my friend got vaccinated together and we both agreed like as soon as we're both like fully vaccinated, we're going to commemorate it by just spitting champagne into each other's mouths. Because it's like, it's celebratory.
That's a beautiful thing.
Unsanitary, isn't it?
Well, it seems like you might be dating now. I want to hear a little bit about that because, you know, I'm not going to expose you, but we did have to take a moment at the beginning of this episode.
Oh, my God. I'm not really seeing anyone right now. You know, there might have been a man who came back from ski season, and we might have had a martini together. But yeah, I mean, other than that, I haven't been dating that much as of recently just because of the quality of men in New York City. And it's so, I don't know. I like, at this point, I'm like, do I even have the patience to go out with these men? For the first time in my life, I like have straight men as actual friends, which is incredibly bizarre and something I never would have expected. But I feel like I'm kind of, you know, getting more than enough straight male energy in my life. So I'm not super, I'm always, you know, on the look, man eater, but I'm not in a rush to find a rotation to celebrate Hot Girl Summer with, or have my Gatsby moment with, you know, it'll happen.
No, you're enjoying it right now for what it is. And yeah. I mean, I personally don't think it's the time to settle down as we're on the precipice of, you know, greatness when we'll all reach our full potential, hopefully.
Oh, it's death. Just have a breakup season. It is the ultimate uncuffing season.
Like, yeah, it's the opposite of couple season.
Yeah.
All of those quarantine relationships that were like cute and snuggly in the past, like, you know, 9 months, it's time for you guys to reevaluate. Honestly, I'm seeing this. I'm slightly older than you. I'm 24, but I'm seeing it with like a few of my friends who are a little bit older than me. And it's become, it's either people are breaking up or they're getting married.
Yeah.
There's no in between.
I've noticed that too. It's so crazy. I mean, I think it's smart to break up as opposed to getting married, because it's like, this is a great like test. It's honestly a gift, like a couple who's engaged, to see if you can actually stand each other. Unless you're like me and you want to get married a few times, because I just love golden age Hollywood. So I want to recreate that in my own personal life. And I'm very excited for that. But, you know, if you want a marriage that works, you don't want to.
Right. Multiple weddings, multiple dresses. That's
exactly.
Goal.
Attention, money, you know, that's all a girl can really ask for. Yeah, I think everyone's gonna uncuff.
Well, can you tell me a little bit about your podcast?
Yeah, my podcast is called Let Me Ruin Your Life. It is, I refer to it as like a quasi advice podcast because the premise of it is that I give advice, but you know, it's just, the appeal of it is just you get to see the what's happening in my mind, which a surprising amount of people want to see. I don't know why. So I just talk about, you know, whatever's on my mind. I talk about my thoughts on dating and life and work and school and, you know, my many cancellations.
All of the above.
All of the exciting stuff. Yeah.
Right. I'm like, that totally. So I guess if you want to touch on it a little bit, you were quasi-canceled recently, somewhat recently.
I don't know if you know who Jack Martin is, but he DM'd me and about it and was like, sorry, you're being like soft canceled or something. And I was like, that's the perfect term.
Yeah. So do you want to explain to the audience about the soft?
I mean, long story short, nothing happened. Like, it's the internet. Nothing was serious. It's, you know, my friends are like, why are you getting canceled? I'm like, I could explain it to you in depth for like 10 minutes, or I could just tell you that like this won't matter in one day. And it didn't. So essentially, I posted a video because I saw that there was a trend on TikTok and on the internet and like in with young women in general, where like the way we encourage young women to build confidence is by saying like, oh, like you're hot. Tell yourself you're hot. Tell yourself you're pretty. You're beautiful. And my point was like, you're teaching young women to build confidence off of like something that does not provide genuine sustainable confidence. Like you can be as comfortable as you want in your looks, but like that's not real confidence if it's not built off of like your identity and your hobbies and who you are as a person. And so, you know, I made like a jokey bitchy video about it being like, do you read books? Like you keep telling yourself you're hot, but like, do you have any personality? And it did well at first, but then it made its way to Twitter, and Twitter does not like TikTok. Twitter does not like TikTok. I don't know how many like thousands of quote tweets the original video had before it was deleted, but it must have been like in the tens of thousands. And, you know, so many like blue check mark journalists who were like twice my age making threads about me, which is fucking weird and fan behavior. And so, yeah, it was just like a lot of dogpiling for like 2 days and then no one cared. But it's just like, it's, yeah, it's the internet. It's, I was talking about it on my podcast.
And for one day you were like a target.
Yeah. One day I was really, 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 really sad. Dixie D'Amelio. No, I wasn't. I was talking about it on my podcast and I was like, all my friends were kind of texting me as if I was on suicide watch. They were kind of like, are you okay? Like, how you holding up? And it was like, I've seen this play out on the internet every day. Like every single person who gets followers, that happens to them. So I knew it was going to pass in like 2 days. I don't take any of that seriously. It's the internet. Also, my friend got me a nameplate necklace that says canceled, and I'm so excited for it to arrive. I'm going to wear it every day.
That's amazing. Look, you know you made it out as a creator when you've been canceled, because that just means people care enough about what you're saying to cancel you.
Exactly. Fan behavior.
Fan behavior. And like, I remember seeing that video and I was like, okay. And like, I didn't think twice about it.
Yeah, that's
it.
The thing.
I was
like,
facts.
Anyone who I like admire or I'm friends with or like creators I really love, so many of them like reached out to me and were like, I didn't find anything offensive about the video. Like, as I said, my mom literally emails me and tells me to take shit down if she thinks it's mean. And she did not care. So I was like, obviously, this is not like an ethical thing. Like, people are just annoyed because,
no,
you know, pretty girl, let's hate on her.
People are annoyed. Yeah, it's also people are annoyed because they don't want to hear things being told to them by someone else.
That's
like,
true.
Well, do you read?
Yeah, they don't want to answer that question.
That's what I'm saying. No, I mean, clearly it lasted all of 22 hours. Like, it doesn't matter, which is why I was like, it's not, honestly, like, not even worth bringing up because you weren't really canceled. It's just more of like a funny experience.
Yeah, it's just the natural cycle.
Exactly. You had to have gone through it, at least. I mean, you see it all the time with TikTok creators, right? Like, people who go through cycles. It's very hard for anybody to stay, like, pristine at all points in time.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want to. So, it's fine.
Do you have close friendships, or, like, what? How has TikTok kind of impacted, like, the people you've met and kind of the trajectory you've been on? Because you said, like, Jack Martin reached out to you and things like that. So,
yeah, I mean, it's really, like, kind of changed everything. I mean, a year ago, I was doing fashion design at FIT. Now I'm in fashion business and I'm working at a financial media firm. I'm doing talent management for them and I really love them. And that was, like, because of the connections I made through TikTok and, like, the things I learned from people on TikTok. And now I have, like, a lot of close friendships. I think I'm, like, hanging out with Mark Sebastian later this weekend. Audrey Peters is a good friend of mine.
Oh, I love him. He seems like a hoot.
So it's, you know, and especially when I think about, like, the friendships I've made and, like, the friendships I've made based on them and, like, what's happened because of that, it's, like, such a crazy domino effect that it's, like, really changed my life in so many ways and given me so many opportunities that I am on paper unqualified for, but oh well, I deserve them.
I end every episode with something that we like to call shots, which are rapid fire this or that questions.
Oh, love.
So just want your first reaction.
Okay. I'm all excited.
Right. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. Early bird or night owl?
Oh, night owl. It's bad.
Work hard or play hard?
Play hard, but both.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Dine out or delivery?
Dine out, unless it's unsafe.
Laundry or dishes?
Laundry.
TikTok or Instagram?
TikTok.
Money or fame?
Fuck. oh my God, I'm sweating. Money.
Okay. Favorite season?
Fall or spring? I don't know. Anytime that's not winter. I run cold.
What would you rate yourself out of a 10?
I mean, I feel like I'm above a scale.
There it is. What is your drink of choice?
Currently, dirty gin martini or espresso martini.
Favorite song at the moment?
Kyoto by Phoebe Bridgers.
And if you had a boat, what would you name it?
Little Edie.
Oh, cute. Okay, well, Serena, it was amazing to have you on. I'm sure a lot of people have learned a lot from this today. If you guys want to hear more from Serena, let them know where they can find you.
I am on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter at GlamDemon2004, or you can listen to my podcast, Let Me Ruin Your Life, on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
Amazing. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. This was so fun.